the Crossbreed Holster Studios.
What kind of person possesses no means to defend either himself or his family?
Annoying, gun-grabbing liberals from coast to coast.
You know, what do they need all those bullets for?
He's the loudest voice in America fighting for gun rights.
No caveman in his right mind would have ever left his cave without his club.
This is Armed American Radio.
Now, your host, Mark Walters.
Live from coast to coast in the Crossbreed Holster Studios with you. How the heck are you doing today? I'm going to turn myself up here so I can hear myself a little better. Woo! Going to be a rocking radio program today. What a weekend this has been. I'll tell you about that later. Man, oh man. Got Bob Owens from BearingArms.com coming up in just a minute. We've got John Lott coming on. We're going to continue the discussion about his amazing work, The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies, something you have to have. If you don't have it yet, I'm going to push you to get it again. This is required reading. Many of you have written to tell me that you do have it. Thank you for that. We're going to keep the push on. This is absolute required reading. You need to know this information ahead of this upcoming election. There's no question about it. AWR Hawkins, Breitbart News, my political analyst will be here in the next hour. Fun stuff. And a lot to talk with you about. Yes, we're going to talk a little bit about Milwaukee. Yes, we're going to talk about the carnage in Chicago. And just an absolutely hilarious piece that Bob Owens wrote at BearingArms.com. But before I get started, let me open the program today with some words about the passing of a man many of you have heard on this program in the past. Earlier this week, on Wednesday to be exact, Mike Vanderbeau, founder of Sipsey Street Irregulars and a constant nuisance to the progressive left, gun grabbers, and just plain old every un-American out there, passed away. Mike was many things, not the least of which was a man of incredible intellect, a gifted speaker, and he was no doubt a master of prose. He could wrap his words. He was a wordsmith admired by many and matched by few. That's an honest assessment from me personally. Read a lot of his work. Mike also worked hand-in-hand with David Kodria together to expose the fast and furious gun walking. I don't call it scandal. It was a crime. Still is a crime. By Obama and Holder. The two of them did amazing work there. Never got the credit necessary because the mainstream media did what we like to call big-footed them out of it. But we all know where it came from. They've been credited with some of the work in pieces written by those who later would kind of try to Bigfoot them out of the picture. But we all know where it came from. You heard it here covered on this program for years. While Mike had an incredible way with words and believed deeply in the Constitution and our uniquely American way of life, he certainly was not without his detractors on both sides of this issue. Not unusual, nor is it unexpected from a man with a strong personality and from a man with strong convictions. His blog, Sipsey Street Irregulars, continues with his son. On his passing, please keep Mike and his family in your prayers, okay? All right. I'll tell you what. We're going to go right to the phones today. I've got so much to cover with you, so little time. Can we really talk about all of this in 1 hour every week? Well, now it's 3 hours on Sundays, and it's every single day of the week, and we just don't have enough time. And I was having a funny conversation about that with Bob Owens at BearingArms.com just a few minutes ago prior to jumping on the line with us here. Bob, how you doing today, my friend?
I'm hanging in there, sir, enjoying this nice North Carolina heat.
Boy, it's hot. Now, let's tell some folks. I was in North Carolina. Whereabouts are you in North Carolina area?
I'm in just south of Raleigh.
Okay, all right. I flew into Greensboro yesterday, a town I used to live in, albeit many, many years ago, 30-plus years ago to be exact. But I flew into Greensboro, went to a wedding. At a friend's wedding this weekend, and it was absolutely amazing. And you're absolutely right. The wedding was outside. It was very, very hot. And I got to tell you this because it's very cool, but it was at Richard Petty's house. That was really neat to be at the wedding there with the king and everything. It was an awful lot of fun. And, boy, you're right. Now, I was out there in slacks and a shirt and outside on the beautiful grounds at the Petty Estate, and it was wonderful, but, it was hot, brother.
Yeah, it very, very hot. I think the heat index today in the 105 to 108 range.
Yeah, it made the wedding fun. It was breezy enough out there, but it was an awful lot of fun. It was really cool to participate in. Okay, so let's go to a couple things here. First, let's talk about news Milwaukee. Let me get your perspective. This is not something that you and I just spoke minutes ago before this program aired. I wanted you to come on and talk about some of these things, and particularly your piece about Bill Weld. We'll go there in just a minute. Former Massachusetts governor, now running mate with Gary Johnson. But give us your unique take on what's happening on this continuous breaking story now out of Milwaukee, Bob.
It's stunning that we have devolved as a culture to the point that a law enforcement officer shooting a gangbanger, known felon, who is openly armed with a stolen handgun, is shot in the chest after squaring off against the officer, and people are upset about that. It's amazing we've fallen to that point.
What does that tell you? Because I'm with you on this, and I have some words about that later in the show. I'll save them for now. But here's let me just give you the overall take from me, and I want you to agree with me or disagree with me, however you feel. But here's my take on this, and I've made myself very clear here over the years, in particular over the last 12 months during this whole phony Black Lives Matter garbage that we're witnessing across the country right now that is causing incredible divisiveness and has been embraced by Hillary Clinton, the Democrat Party, the Progressive Socialists, and Barack Obama. It's disgusting to me. But let's go here with this. If you want to avoid an altercation with police, avoid a life of crime, stealing firearms, running from the law, and you might be okay. Is that when did that become bad advice in America today to teach our children, Bob?
When they discovered that they can rile up a largely impoverished, crime-riddled, criminal-filled subculture of society and insist that it's everybody else's fault, and then use this group as a political terrorist group against the rest of the country. That's when this happened. Black Lives Matter is a domestic terrorist group. They function to use the threat of violence and the actual use of violence in order to affect the intimidation of government. That is the FBI's definition of a domestic terrorist group. Unfortunately, they are being led out of the White House, both implicitly and explicitly. DeRay McKesson, who was one of their leaders, has been to the White House numerous times. And you know, the Democrat Party is neck deep in domestic terrorism against the United States, using Black Lives Matter as a front group to push their political agenda.
Okay, what I just heard from you reeks of some type of pre-planning here. This didn't just happen. Let's go to Every Town for Gun Safety. The two of us have talked about this. I lost count how many times, both on air and off air, at venues and in other subsequent conversations. But Every Town for Gun Safety is neither Every Town, nor are they gun safety. They were not founded by a woman sitting at her kitchen table who one day just got fed up and disgusted by what she saw in the news and did it for the children and all of a sudden was driving around in bulletproof limousines and black SUVs with $50 million in a bank account funded by Michael Bloomberg. That did not happen overnight. This was pre-planned. Is this pre-planned as well?
Absolutely.
Is this part of the bigger picture?
Absolutely. If you look at any of the major protests, whether it's Baltimore or Ferguson or, you know, what you see in Chicago or what you saw outside the Republican National Convention or at the Democrat Convention, you see the same groups popping up. Revcom.us, that's the Revolutionary Communist Party. They are funded by George Soros and other left-wing billionaires, many of them who are not even based in the United States, and they are embraced by the Democrat Party because they can be used to shift public opinion. They can be used to bully law-abiding citizens, and they are being used as a weapon against, you know, good people of every color and every background. You know, it doesn't matter if you're black, white, brown, yellow, or red. These folks are being used to hurt you, to hurt the United States, and are being used as a political weapon to push a radical left-wing socialist to communist worldview.
It's working. It's working. Now, we've got 30 seconds, so I'm going to take this to the break. When we come back from the break, I'm going to just give you a heads up. I want you to think about this over the next couple of minutes while we're on break. I want to ask you about the media's role in all of this, because as you know, Bob, I'm no fan of the mainstream media. I can take everything detrimental in this company, in this country, happening to this country right now, back to the mainstream press. I can take it there, and I can prove it as we go back, and we can go down these rabbit holes. So think about that during the break. What's the media's role in this? Why are they actively involved in it? And then I want to start talking to you about Bill Weld and this incredible column he wrote at BearingArms.com. I'll be right back with Bob Owens, the editor at BearingArms.com. Fun stuff coming up. Don't go away.
Imagine you're walking through a parking lot at dusk. You're with your children. As you approach your car, you see a large man closing in. Something seems wrong. Something is wrong. You calmly move in front of your kids and turn towards the attacker. Your mind flashes back to everything you've learned. The man is now 30 feet away. You don't make a move yet, but you can feel the weight of your 9mm on your hip. You hear yourself confidently issue the command, "Stay back!" And then it happens. The attacker understands what only criminals can comprehend. He has picked the wrong target. He quickly turns around. "What's wrong?" says your child as you get in the car. "Nothing. Nothing's wrong, honey. Everything is fine. Get a gun and master its use. The Self-Defense Shield from the USCCA will help you understand gun safety and self-defense. The USCCA Self-Defense Shield gives you education, training, and a tenacious legal defense. It's your path to become a responsibly armed American. Discover how a gun and your family are the perfect fit. Visit freegunguide.com. That's freegunguide.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit crossbreedholsters.com today.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a Crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at crossbreedholsters.com.
Hillary Clinton plans on riding into the White House on the backs of women, but this won't be the first time she used women to get ahead. Her Clinton Foundation pays key women 63 cents for every dollar key men make. Men also make up her top 8 highest paid employees, and she paid her female Senate staff 28% less than men made.
Say that again.
Her Clinton Foundation pays key women 63 cents for every dollar key men make. Men also make up her top 8 highest paid employees, and she paid her female Senate staff 28% less than men made. If you're a woman, don't pay attention to what Hillary Clinton says. Pay attention to what she pays. Put an end to Hillary's war on women.
Say that again.
Put an end to Hillary's war on women.
Paid for by Ameripac. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Expansion Industries is a national ammunition supply and sales company based in the Mid-Atlantic region that provides bulk sales of quality target ammunition and reloading supplies. Buy 1,000 rounds today and receive free shipping on your order. Visit Expansion Industries online at exp-ind.com and save today. We're a family-owned and faith-based company in the heart of Virginia. It's about freedom. exp-ind.com. Expansion Industries.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
This is Armed American Radio.
Doesn't help to have guns owned by only good people because bad people still get them.
Yeah, that's exactly why we need them.
Now, back to the man defending your Second Amendment rights, Mark Walters.
In hundreds of cities across the country right now, this is live radio. As I'm saying it, you're hearing it. It's great to be with you today. I got some emails from Hattiesburg, Mississippi. You cats listening down in Mississippi on the Super Talk stations, I love you guys. I'm going to get to that email later in the program. Love that stuff. This show is airing live now across the country and then in delayed form on stations around the country. 7 days a week, we are annoying the un-American progressive gun grabbers as best we can. And God forbid the wrong thing happen in November. But if it does, I can promise you, I'm going to up the game. I'm going to up the game. I'll explain that later as we get closer and closer to the election. All right, let's go back to Bob Owens, BearingArms.com. Bob, this is the media. I have to go here because I can't stand the mainstream media. When I watch the media in this country in action, here's what I think of them. I think it is treasonous. I think they are the lowest form of un-American that we have because they are pushing. It's just like Joseph Goebbels, man. This is propaganda 101. And, you know, I hate to use Trump's word, unfair, but the media has been unfair to conservatives in this country since I can remember, you know, as a kid. We all know Dan rather biased and on and on. Now the emperor's clothes are off, okay? So we go back to that conversation we were having in the previous segment, the Black Lives Matter thing and everything else. What is the media's role, and why are they so actively pushing? Well, we're talking about an individual running from cops with a gun. We're talking about Michael Brown, where this organization, it's not an organization, where the movement, whatever you want to call it, was founded based on a man who robbed a convenience store, shoving the guy, stealing his product, ignoring a police officer, trying to reach the police officer's gun to kill the man. And somehow, it's an innocent, unarmed black man, and it's racial. How do we get here, and why is the media involved to the tune they are?
It's very simple. The national news media, most of your regional news media, and indeed many of your local news outlets are owned by wealthy people, limousine liberals, on the far political left. They intentionally shape coverage and slant the news to match their preconceived political values. So it behooves them to create these false narratives where Trayvon Martin is right. This innocent kid walking home from a store instead of a hardened, gun-dealing, drug-abusing street fighter that he really was in real life. It behooves them to turn Michael Brown into an innocent kid with his hands up when, in fact, he was an attempted cop killer and strong-arm robbery suspect who tried to take Officer Darren Wilson's gun from him. It plays to what they want to sell you to try to claim that Alton Sterling was executed instead of a violent pedophile with a history of battery charges and domestic violence who was reaching for a gun when he was shot. They want to set the world on fire.
It is working. And what it's doing is they understand this. Of course, I asked that question somewhat rhetorically. We know the answer to the question. We want to get your perspective on it. And I'm going to leave it at that from a time standpoint. I could have that conversation with you media related. And we could blow off the rest of our guests and just keep going. It's fascinating. I'm looking forward to bringing you to the daytime show. So I'm going to mention that on live radio now so that we can hopefully continue this conversation, the media-driven aspect of this, on the Daily Defense in the coming few days, if that's okay. I hate to put you on the spot with that, but you're going to get an invitation because it's a very, very critical topic. But right now I want to move to Bill Weld because we're going to run out of time here. You wrote a piece that was just absolutely brilliant, just brilliant. Bill Weld just compared AR-15s to weapons of mass destruction and said pistols were even worse. Tell us quickly. We've got about 4.5 minutes here. What did this guy do?
Well, I think what Bill Weld did is he got into Gary Johnson's potstash. He did a interview with Revolt TV, and he, in response to some of the recent mass killings, that the interviewer asked him about AR-15s and summer style rifles. And here's Wells' quote: "The five-shot rifle, that's a standard military rifle. The problem is if you attach a clip to it so it can fire more shells, and if you remove the pin so that it becomes an automatic weapon, and those are independent criminal offenses, that's when they essentially become a weapon of mass destruction. The problem
Stop right there. So from what I read here, okay, and that's his quote. That's not even the way you took it down and dressed him down. His quote. So if I read this properly, you can take a five-shot rifle, stick a clip in it, pull a pin, and it'll go boom like a grenade. Is that what this guy's trying to tell us?
No, not boom like a grenade, more boom like a nuke.
Okay, it's just insanity.
Yeah,
that's great.
We have not had a standard five-shot rifle in the U.S. military since 9 years before he was born. It was January 9th, 1936 when we standardized the Garand.
All right. Here's what you said. So according to Weld, I can take an old military rifle like this, you show a picture, attach clips to it, you show pictures of clips, not magazines, but clips. There's a difference, people. Pay attention. Look it up. You can find the truth. It's out there. Pull a pin, and you have a picture of a pin, and then it will turn into a chemical, biological, or radioactive weapon capable of causing widespread death and destruction. I think it's self-evident that Governor Weld doesn't have the first clue what he's talking about, and that he's been sharing a bong with his running mate. Sadly, after dumping on common rifles in such a mind-numbing, stupid way, showing that he knows less about firearms than virtually any politician in the United States today, and that's saying a lot, Weld then goes on to attack handguns, suggesting that he'd be in favor of banning them as well. Good heavens. So when I saw this, it brought tears to my eyes. I cracked up. Where can people read this? We have to direct people where they can go to see this and get the visual themselves.
Absolutely. If you hop right on over to bearingarms.com, I believe that is the second article listed.
I can tell you right now that it is the second article listed. And, Bob, you guys are putting out some great stuff over there. Jen Jakes is doing a wonderful job. We love having her on the Coffee Talk part over on the daytime show. Looking forward to bringing her back on, and I know how busy you all have been over there. So thanks for doing that work and keeping us informed on some of these stories that the mainstream press just simply never covers. BearingArms.com. Bob Owens, I'm going to hold you to that. We're going to bring you on the next week, or this week later, to continue the conversation about the mainstream press. Does it sound fair?
Absolutely. Look forward to it.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you for being here on very short notice. BearingArms.com. Bob Owens, a great editor over at bearingarms.com. Boy, fun stuff. You got to see this column. We just, it's theater of the mind. We try to bring it to you, but this is one of those deals where you have to read it. It brought tears to my eyes. I'm pretty certain it will do the same for you. When we come back, John Lott will be here. We will carry on the conversation with him for two more segments. We will continue to go through his book, The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies. John Lott, next. Hi, it's Mark, and I'm sure you know I'm a proud supporter of our Second Amendment right to bear arms. That's also why I'm a member of the USCCA. In fact, I'm member number 32, one of the first there was, and it's the USCCA whose sole purpose is protecting responsibly armed Americans like you and me. And right now, the USCCA is giving you the chance to win the gun you've had your eye on for years with their Dream Gun Giveaway. 10 lucky winners will receive $1,500 to purchase any gun they want. So what gun is calling your name? Maybe it's a classic handgun. Maybe you're thinking about a brand new rifle or shotgun for hunting season. Or maybe it's your very first gun that you buy to protect your loved ones. There are no restrictions. You can pick any gun, any brand, in any caliber. Just visit WinDreamGun.com to enter today. And remember, since they're drawing 10 winners, you have 10 chances to win. Your entry to win your dream gun is quick, simple, and free. Just visit WinDreamGun.com right now. That's WinDreamGun.com right now.
I don't think I need to tell you this, but I'm going to anyway. When it comes to concealed carry, a smart shooter is a prepared shooter. And going to the range and shooting at a target just isn't enough. While training is important, you need something more. And that's why 135,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry magazine. To pick up where training at the range leaves off, expect life-saving information on every page, every issue. Whether it's unbiased gun and gear reviews or real stories of self-defense, from real people who carry concealed every day. You'll stay up to date on the latest training drills and laws regarding your right to carry your firearm. And for a limited time, when you start your subscription, you'll automatically be entered to win one of four brand new guns. But this won't last long. So go to the number one of the number four guns.com right now to begin your subscription and claim your chance to win your dream gun. That's one of four guns.com.
Hi, everybody. Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends, you can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com. The USCCA Facebook page brings together nearly 2 million like-minded people, all of them interested in effective self-defense and the concealed carry lifestyle. Look for the official USCCA page on Facebook. Find the page, click the like button, and start learning all you can about becoming a responsibly armed American. And remember to share these great tips with all your other Facebook friends. The USCCA on Facebook, a great source for information on personal safety and so much more.
The following segment of Armed American Radio is proudly being sponsored by the Second Amendment Foundation. Join them, won't you, at saf.org.
Welcome back to the Crossbreed Holster Studios. I hope you enjoyed that last half hour with Bob. That was a lot of fun. Short on time. We just never have enough time in the program to get everything out that we want. It is truly the fastest hour. Each individual hour of Armed American Radio is, in fact, the fastest hour on radio. It just flies right by. It's interesting when we bring new guests in. The first thing out of their mouths when they hang up and I talk to them later is, my gosh, that flew by. And it does. It literally does. We're going to fly by in the next hour after we talk with John Lott and the remainder of this program with AWR Hawkins from Breitbart News. So let's go right to the phones. Let's go right to the Crossbreed Studios, Crossbreed Holster Studios hotline and talk with John. John, how you doing today?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, anytime. You know, we can do it. We're a big fan of this book out here. You know, I want to read a little bit of the inside cover quickly before we get to you. They're coming for your guns. That's not a scaremongering phrase. It's a simple truth. And it comes from John R. Lott, Jr., Ph.D., best-selling author of The Debate Changing More Guns, Less Crime. In this, his latest and most important book, The War on Guns, Lott offers the most thorough debunking yet of the so-called facts, data, and arguments, all in quotes, of anti-gun advocates, exposing how they have repeatedly twisted or ignored the real evidence. The evidence set, of course, refutes them on every point. And in this book, you'll learn, and it's true, I can vouch for it, why gun licenses and background checks don't stop crime, how gun-free zones actually attract mass shooters, why stand-your-ground laws are some of the best crime deterrents we have, why having background checks on private gun transfers is a bad idea, how big-money liberal foundations, media bias, and ignorance skew the gun debate, anti-gun activists have targeted, and on and on and on. That's why I keep telling you that this book is a must for you as we approach this election. It's critical. John, there are two places I want to cover with you. One in this segment, then we'll move to another topic in the second. And this is page 138 of your book. You talk about should motor vehicle regulations guide firearm regulations. The reason I want to talk with you about that is because that's something that gets thrown at us all the time. We hear that. Piers Morgan used to talk about it all the time. And the left hits us with it. We regulate guns, driver's license, or we regulate cars, driver's license, safety features, motor vehicle accidents have been dropping since the 60s. We need to do the same thing with guns. And you thoroughly debunk that here, but in the easiest read possible. It was amazing. Can you start off and tell us, should motor vehicle regulations guide firearm regulations? And if not, why not?
Thanks. Yeah, I should be careful talking about my book. I mean, you've read it three times now. probably know it better than I do.
I have the answers in front of me. I'll give you that right now, so watch out.
But anyway, motor vehicle accidents per mile driven and fatalities have been falling since you started having cars. I mean, we started collecting the data in the 1920s, and it was falling. It's been falling ever since then. What's been interesting is that the federal regulations really started around the mid-1960s, and at that point, even though deaths continued to fall, they actually started falling at a slower rate than they did previously. A lot of economists have looked at that. They actually worry that having the federal government tell companies exactly how they were going to meet different safety regulations actually slowed down the process by which car companies adopted safety rules. You know, the problem that you have when people go and say that these regulations made things safer is you have to first realize that things were getting safer from the very beginning. And so you could have picked any year, and the average fatality per mile driven after that year would have always been lower than it was beforehand, even though, you know, there weren't any regulations in the 30s or the 40s or the 50s there. You know, you could have picked any year during that time, and you still would have gotten the same result. What you have to do is look at the trends, and you, in fact, see that, and I think the graph that I have in the book are pretty much speak for themselves. You can see that the rate of improvement slowed right when the federal regulations went into effect. But here's the thing. You also have to compare apples to apples. When they're comparing car safety to safety with guns, you have to compare accidents to accidents, for example. Virtually all motor vehicle deaths involve accidents. I mean, there are a few suicides and there's some murders that are committed with guns. But for cars, it's the opposite. For guns, accidents are a very tiny percentage of the deaths that are associated with them. But you can look over time, and what you, in fact, you see is that even without the regulations, firearm accidental deaths actually fell much faster than they did for cars, which supposedly should have, you know, gun control advocates would claim would have improved at a better rate because they had the regulations. So the regulations, the product that actually had the regulations saw accidental deaths fall at a slower rate than they did for the product that didn't have the regulations.
Yeah, you go to, there's a couple numbers, some numbers I want to throw out to you, the listener here. I think it's important because you hear this. You have this thrown at you. If you engage in this conversation with someone on the other side of the fence, you may see some of these numbers. And, John, you point them out here. The latest data we have are from 2014. A total of 35,631 Americans died from motor vehicle deaths and 32,856 died from gun deaths, including suicides, murders, and accidental fatalities. The gap has narrowed since 2000, when there were 43,563 motor vehicle deaths and 25,855 gun deaths. And in the 2014, firearm deaths fell somewhat to 30,044 when we exclude justifiable homicides. And I want to continue with this piece here because it's critical. I hadn't thought about this. I read this and I thought, wow, why didn't I think of that before? There's a more basic problem with comparing motor vehicle deaths to firearm deaths. As you said, the causes of death are very different. And you have the figure here. You have the chart in figure four. In 2014, 99.4% of car deaths were accidental in nature. I don't think anybody would dispute that, hence the term car accident, right? By contrast, only 1.8% of gun deaths were accidental, and a staggering 65% of gun fatalities are suicide. So that's got to skew the information that we get from the other side when it comes to, you know, what we see, because your conclusion is basically that there's no evidence that safety regulations reduce total suicides. There are simply too many ways for people to kill themselves. To the extent that the two products are comparable, it appears that motor vehicles might have more to learn from firearms than the reverse.
Right. No, I mean, anybody who looks at motor vehicle deaths over time, you know, something happened in the mid-60s, and it just so happens to coincide with federal regulations there. And, you know, as I said before, you have to compare apples to apples. So if you want to look at accidental deaths involving cars, you have to look at accidental deaths involving firearms. And, you know, over time, you've had a bigger percentage drop while we've had the federal regulations of cars. You've had a bigger percentage drop in accidental deaths involving guns than you have for cars. So it seems like whatever we've been doing for guns has been working better than what we've been doing for cars.
My guess to that, John, would be because of education, because of programs like this, because of books like yours, because of the NRA, because of increased training availability, real gun safety measures that people are taking advantage of, the explosion, in particular over the Obama years, of real gun safety. Not every town for gun safety, code word for gun control, but real gun safety instruction, people teaching people about firearms. And John, when you factor in the explosion in the number of permits, which you've written about recently, at 14.5 million, I mean, there's just no comparison between the two.
Yeah, you would think, I mean, so in 1999, there were like, 1.9 million concealed carry permits, something like that. And now we're over 14.5 million, plus 11 states where you don't even need a permit to be able to carry. Right. You would think that there would have been a massive explosion in accidental gun deaths, accidental gunshots. Instead, as you say, it's plummeted over that period of time. And, so we've had more carrying, more guns in public, and yet accidental deaths have gone down dramatically.
And they're claiming that we need more regulation. It's a perfect time to take a break. It was right on the money. When we come back, stand your ground and how it impacts minorities in today's day and age with the Black Lives Matter and the news out of Milwaukee. I think people are going to be fascinated by what you found here. Armed American Radio continues with Dr. John Lott. Brilliant book, The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies. You have to have it. Look it up. Amazon, wherever you buy books. The War on Guns by John Lott. Be right back.
Hey, I'm sure you know by now, I'm a proud member of the United States Concealed Carry Association. They are by far the leaders in providing the absolute best education, training, and a tenacious legal defense for self-reliant Americans like you and me. Now, it's the USCCA's mission to help responsibly armed Americans like you become the best protector and defender of your loved ones that you can be. And folks, the USCCA has something exciting going on right now. I don't want you to miss it. Now, for just a few days more, the USCCA is giving away $10,000 worth of free ammo. Now, can you imagine sharpening your skills at the range without worrying about running out of ammo? Now, instead of just one winner, they're going to draw four, which means you have four chances to win free ammo for a year. Now, visit their website, defendfamily.com, to enter today. Now, take your personal preparedness to the next level with the help of the USCCA, and you can enter to win $10,000 worth of ammo. It's quick, it's simple, it's free. Just go to the website, defendfamily.com, right now. One word, defendfamily.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I'm sure you know I'm a proud supporter of our Second Amendment right to bear arms. That's also why I'm a member of the USCCA. In fact, I'm member number 32, one of the first there was, and it's the USCCA whose sole purpose is protecting responsibly armed Americans like you and me. And right now, the USCCA is giving you the chance to win the gun you've had your eye on for years with their Dream Gun Giveaway. 10 lucky winners will receive $1,500 to purchase any gun they want. So what gun is calling your name? Maybe Maybe it's a classic handgun. Maybe you're thinking about a brand new rifle or shotgun for hunting season. Or maybe it's your very first gun that you buy to protect your loved ones. There are no restrictions. You can pick any gun, any brand, in any caliber. Just visit WinDreamGun.com to enter today. And remember, since they're drawing 10 winners, you have 10 chances to win. Your entry to win your dream gun is quick, simple, and free. Just visit WinDreamGun.com right now. That's WinDreamGun.com right now.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out.
Folks, you know that the USCCA protects responsible gun owners if we're ever forced to use our weapons in self-defense. Recently, a USCCA member witnessed his neighbor being assaulted in his front yard. He drew his weapon to stop the threat and was arrested, even though he never fired a shot. Would you know what to say to the police and what not to say if this happened to you? Visit BeTheirProtector.com for the USCCA's free guide, The Six Things You Didn't Know Would Happen When the Police Arrive. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
You're tuned in to Armed American Radio.
Those who oppose any common sense gun control or gun safety measures have a pretty effective way of ginning up fear that somehow the federal government's about to take all your guns away.
Look, if you're a Democrat pulling the lever for gun grabbers, you're no friend of mine.
Protecting your right to bear arms.
Here is Armed American Radio's Mark Walters.
Hey, real quick, I got to take you from the Crossbreed Holster Studios over to USCCA On Air. The Gun A Day giveaway is going on for the remainder of August. Visit usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. All you have to do to be entered into the running to win the Gun of the Day giveaway, and today they're giving away three rifles, Springfield Armory M1A SOCOM 16, three of them. Manufacturer suggested retail price of $1,500. Three of them are going to go today only. You have 3 hours, 11 minutes, and 3 seconds from right now. The grand prize winner will win 1 pound of solid gold in the form of 16 American Gold Eagles at the end of the month. That current value is right around $23,000. And all you have to do is activate your subscription to Concealed Carry Magazine. $47 for the year gets you 100 back print issues. The magazine, once every few months, you get 8 issues a year, okay? And then you also get the digital edition for $47. And trust me, you're going to want to become a member and everything else. But usccaonair.com. Go over and check it out. All right, we're continuing the conversation with Dr. John Lott. The book, his book, is The War on Guns. And he's right. I've read this book 3 times now. It's marked up like a college textbook. I've got it highlighted. I've got pages folded. I've got red pens everywhere and notes all over the place. It's that good. And I have to, look, I've got to push you to get this thing, because this lays out why and how, and it gives it to you in very simple terms that everybody can understand, rather than, you know, than the economists. It's not like a textbook. This is laid out for you the way in just plain simple English for you to have a decent, if you can, a decent conversation with the enemies of our freedom. But my opinion, and I've read virtually everything John's written more than once, is that this is his best work to date. John, welcome back to the show. Let's head over to Stand Your Ground. And you point out, I'm going to point listeners to page 156, that Stand Your Ground laws have recently become the subject, as we all know, of racially charged debate. And we're having that discussion around the country. We saw what just happened in Milwaukee and other places previous to that. Obama and Attorney General Holder, then Attorney General Holder, have weighed in on it, suggesting that Stand Your Ground laws do not apply equally to all races. In fact, you point out that blacks living in high-crime urban areas are the most likely victims of violent crime and the most likely beneficiaries of Stand Your Ground and are disproportionately affected by rules that make self-defense more difficult. You also point out that during that same period, from October 1st to 2014, blacks made up 16.7% of Florida's population and 34% of the defendants who invoke Stand Your Ground. Black defendants who invoke the statute are actually acquitted 4 percentage points more frequently than whites who use the very same defense. Who would have thunk that? That's not what the media says.
Right. No, I mean, but once you look at the crime numbers and once you realize who's most likely to be victims of violent crime, it doesn't seem to me that surprising that the people who are most likely to be victims of violent crime are the ones who benefit from rules that makes self-defense easier. I mean, just because you claim you're using Stand Your Ground laws as a defense doesn't mean you're successful. You have to go into court, and you have to prove that a reasonable person in your situation would have felt that their life or their safety was seriously threatened as a result of the criminal who was attacking them. And it turns out that the people who are most likely to be victims use it the most, and blacks, you know, not only do they use it more than whites, but they're more successful in invoking it. So, you know, it's just people look at one or two cases, get the facts wrong even in those cases,
right.
Because the Zimmerman case had nothing to do with Stand Your Ground. Look, the benefit of Stand Your Ground, as opposed to the alternative, which is retreating as far as possible, is that there's a bright line rule. You know exactly what you have to do. When you have to retreat as far as possible, what does it mean to say retreat as far as possible? Different people are going to disagree. Could you have retreated still further? And the reason why Stand Your Grounds got passed in a number of states was that there were abusive cases brought by prosecutors in instances where they would say, well, I think you could have retreated further. So there's one case, and I have a list of these types of cases in the book.
You do.
But you have a case, for example, in Oklahoma, where a 67-year-old man had just pulled into a parking lot for a grocery store and gotten out of his car. An armed robber came up. The older man tried to run away. The robber knocked him down once. The man got up, tried to run away. The robber knocked him down a second time. The man got up, tried to run away. The robber knocked him down a third time. And at that point, the 67-year-old man pulled out his permanently concealed handgun and fatally wounded the robber there. Now, the prosecutor argued it was still possible for him to go and retreat even further before he would have been allowed to use his gun for self-defense. But, I mean,
right. Come
on. I mean, the guy was knocked down for the third time. I mean, how long do you want to go and press your luck against somebody who has a weapon there? Maybe if he'd gone up and tried to run away again, the guy would have shot him at that point. I just, you know, to second-guess these people and make it so they're worried about whether they may be second-guessed so that they may delay too long in defending themselves puts people at risk, and it would put the most vulnerable people, the people who are most likely to be victims of violent crime, poor blacks who live in high-crime urban areas, at the greatest risk. And so, I mean, it's nice that these other people can somehow play around with whether or not they think it's possible somebody could retreat it further or not. But when your life's on the line and you have to meet a reasonable person standard test for doing that, I mean, that seems much clearer than what the alternative is.
Yeah, and I think it's very important, too. I want to go back to your saying, and I thank you for saying this, that Zimmerman, a lot of people are under this misconception, because the media continues to portray this as a Stand Your Ground case. It was never a Stand Your Ground case. The defense never used it. They didn't invoke it. And the media is simply flat out lying about it. They know better, but we expect that from them. Something fascinating in here, and I think we've got we're going to run out of time. Gosh darn it. But you go to the Tampa Bay Times data. And a lot of the enemies of gun rights, a lot of the gun controllers like to point to that that piece by the Tampa Bay Times. I should say that used to be the St. Pete Times, widely regarded as one of the worst liberal rags in the country. But you took issue with some of their statistics and, quite frankly, turned it around on them, didn't you?
Right. Well, I mean, they basically just misread the statistics that are there. You just can't look at the number of people in different racial groups who use Stand Your Ground laws. You have to adjust for the population. And the point is that blacks make up only 16% of the population in Florida, and they use Stand Your Ground laws at twice the rate of their population. That's not true for whites. Whites use it at a smaller rate than their share of the population, but you know, it just seems so obvious that you have to go and adjust for those types of things, and yet those things aren't done. And they'll say the point. Look at the rate at which criminals have Stand Your Ground laws used against them, and those are disproportionately black. Blacks are more likely to be criminals. But the thing is, who are the victims? The victims
that
are using
guns. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to stop you right there. We're at the end of the rope. I hate when that happens. My gosh, I could carry on this conversation with you. And we're going to. You're going to hear from John Lott over the Daily Defense Hour over the next week and probably back on the Monster Show, because we want you to hear the information that's in this book. John Lott, The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies. Thank you, sir. I'm sorry. The fastest hour in radio flies by so quickly. Carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. Never find yourself in a gun-free zone. Buy the book, The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies by Dr. John Lott. Back with A.W.R. Hawkins.
You've just filled your prescription for freedom on Armed American Radio with Mark Walters, the loudest voice in America fighting for gun rights. If you'd like to contact the show or get more information, it would be great to hear from you. Just go online and visit armedamericanradio.com. That's armedamericanradio.com.
Hi, everybody. Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
I don't think I need to tell you this, but I'm going to anyway. When it comes to concealed carry, a smart shooter is a prepared shooter. And going to the range and shooting at a target just isn't enough. While training is important, you need something more. And that's why 135,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine. To pick up where training at the range leaves off, expect life-saving information on every page, every issue. Whether it's unbiased gun and gear reviews or real stories of self-defense from real people who carry concealed every day, you'll stay up to date on the latest training drills and laws regarding your right to carry your firearm. And for a limited time, when you start your subscription, you'll automatically be entered to win one of four brand new guns. But this won't last long. So go to the number one of the number four guns.com right now to begin your subscription and claim your chance to win your dream gun. That's one of four guns.com.